We're continuing it in Matthew's Gospel, which means that we're looking today at another incident from Jesus' life and ministry, following on from the feeding of the 5,000, and which has quite a bit to do with water. Our reading began with the disciples being sent off in a boat to the other side of the lake, while Jesus goes into the hills to pray. At first, there weren't any particular problems, but then, after several hours, a storm blew up, which might have left one or two of the disciples who weren't experienced seafarers feeling a little queasy. But as far as we can tell, it wasn't a particularly bad storm. Even the non-seafarers would have known there were enough experienced sailors on board to be in safe hands. They weren't particularly fearful. Until, that is, they saw a figure walking on the lake. And they assumed that it must be a ghost, crying out in fear. But of course, it wasn't a ghost. It was Jesus. And he reassured his disciples, "Take heart, it is I. Don't be afraid." Which tells us, of course, in yet another way, the same thing we learnt last week, and indeed is shown throughout the Gospels, about Jesus' power over everything, even the ordinary laws of science and nature. Of course, a number of ways in which you can seem to walk on water. You can get a water walking ball, or walk on top of a melting glacier. Then there are wave walk shoes, or you can just walk on the sand in the sun and maybe fool one or two people nearby. Jesus, though, demonstrated his power over everything by actually walking on Lake Galilee, despite it being far too warm to ever freeze, and in places over 40 metres deep. The account isn't over yet, though. There are two more important parts to it. First of all, involving Jesus' leading disciple, Peter. Hearing Jesus say that it was him who was walking on the water, Peter replied, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus indeed says, "Come." So Peter gets out of the boat, and to begin with, he walks on water too, until he sees the wind and he panics. His faith falters and he starts to sink. As he falls even further, he calls out, "Lord, save me." And the Lord Jesus stretches out his hand and does just that. "You of little faith," Jesus says to Peter, "why did you doubt?" People have wondered what that incident might be telling us about our following the Lord Jesus. Some have focused on what to them seems to be Jesus' encouragement of Peter's suggestion that he should walk on water, and see that as proving that we should attempt to do everything that Jesus did. And not only attempt to do it, but confident of success. For they say, unlike Peter, our faith need not fail us. I'm not sure about that. After all, no Christian since the time of Jesus has walked unaided on water. And I think you can argue that Peter may have been wrong even to try to copy Jesus in that specific miracle. Though, of course, there are plenty of other ways in which we can see he does call us to follow him. And I'd suggest that what happens to Peter here provides a realistic picture of what most believers are like. For we too are prone to waver between faith and doubt. Not that that's a good thing, it'd be much better if our faith were more solid. But the reality is, some of the time we're successful in following the Lord, some of the time we're not. Some of the time our faith holds, sometimes it wobbles. That might lead some to suggest, well, we'd better not bother with this, You never know what trouble we might get into trying to follow Jesus. But here we see Peter crying to the Lord Jesus after his faith had failed him. And even as he was beginning to sink, Jesus, in his grace and mercy, stretched out his hand to save him. And so we're assured, if we attempt to follow Jesus and we fail for lack of faith, well, he won't abandon us. He will always be there for us if we go wrong. Yes, there may in time be words of rebuke, as there were for Peter, but the Lord's outstretched hand will be there to rescue us. We'll sometimes be challenged by the need to stretch ourselves in the way we follow the Lord. Maybe to try out a new area of service, to volunteer to help at a different church ministry or community group, or to take more responsibility as someone else bows out. I hope many will be encouraged to be courageous, to follow Jesus in doing what we can for others in new ways. And here we have a picture of how, even if it all goes badly, even if we mess up and say the wrong thing, or it eventually becomes clear we're not suited to the role we're trying, the Lord Jesus will not abandon us. His outstretched hand will be there for us. On to the third and final part of the incident that's recorded here in Matthew's Gospel. They're all back in the boat now. The storm has died down, and the disciples turn to Jesus, they worship him, and they say, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And their acknowledging who Jesus is reminds us, well, in the first place, why Jesus is so important to you and to me. God has sent his own Son to our world as our Saviour, and to give us an example to follow. And our prayer and our longing must surely be that others might see the power and greatness and glory of Jesus for themselves, and in time acclaim him as the Son of God, who alone is worthy of each one of our love and trust and obedience. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven.
State of Christ Church militant here in earth. Almighty and ever-living God, who by thy holy apostle has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all, we humbly beseech thee, most merciful.